Imagine being like deep in the woods, absolutely zero cell service.
Oh, completely off the grid.
Right, totally isolated. Yet your laptop is somehow managing a team of five autonomous digital employees.
Which is a wild visual.
It is, and they are actively executing financial trades and compiling a massive software update while you're just sitting there in a tent.
Yeah, it sounds like complete science fiction.
It really does. But today, that is not science fiction at all. That is the reality of a massive tectonic shift in the tech landscape. So welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today is mapping out this exact transition. We're using the Atsumic News Tech and AI Daily Digest from March 24th, 2026.
A really packed digest today, by the way.
Oh, absolutely packed. We are looking at a stack of sources that basically prove the era of relying on a few giant centralized cloud models. That era is ending.
Yeah, and whether you are, actively trying to optimize your own personal workflow or you're just looking at the macro trends to understand where the global tech industry is heading next, this deep dive is going to give you the ultimate roadmap.
Exactly. The center of gravity in artificial intelligence is no longer sitting in some massive server farm in California.
No, it's not. It is hyperlocal, it is deeply specialized, and as we'll see, it is aggressively global.
Okay, let's unpack this because we really need to start right at the physical hardware level.
The literal spaces where the AI lives.
Right, because the center of gravity is moving directly to edge devices. And the Atmic Digest highlights Apple's iPhone 17 Pro, which is now running a 400 billion parameter large language model entirely locally.
Which is just a staggering number to even say out loud.
It really is. But wait, a 400 billion parameter model? I mean, we are talking about something that historically requires literal racks of enterprise-grade GPUs.
Oh, yeah, huge data centers.
So even with aggressive quantization and all those tricks, doesn't that just bottleneck at the memory bandwidth of a mobile chip? Like, how are they managing the inference speed without turning the phone into a literal space heater in your pocket?
Well, what's fascinating here is the architectural leap in mobile silicon. They aren't just brute forcing the memory in the traditional sense.
Okay, so what are they doing?
To fit a 400B model on an edge device, you have to fundamentally change how the chip actually accesses the weights of the model.
Right.
So by utilizing these deeply integrated unified memory architectures and dynamic loading, the neural engine on the iPhone 17 Pro only pulls the exact parameters it needs.
Just the ones for that specific moment.
Exactly. Just for a specific inference path into active memory at any given microsecond. And it leaves the rest of the massive model completely dormant.
So it's essentially predicting its own memory needs on the fly just to keep the thermal load down.
Precisely. And that completely solves the latency issue, too.
Because it's all right there on the device.
Right. When you don't have to beam your prompt up to a server, wait in a queue, and then wait for the packet to return.
You skip all that traffic.
Yeah, the interaction basically mimics human thought speed. We are literally seeing desktop-class AI inference running natively in your pocket.
Which fundamentally changes our dependency on the cloud. I mean, that brings us to a wildly popular open source project in today's digest called Project Nomad.
Oh, this one is so interesting.
It really is. It hit 4,148 stars on GitHub today, and it is described as an offline-first AI survival computer.
Offline first, that's the key phrase.
Exactly. It comes loaded with local models and critical tools that are designed to operate entirely off the grid.
So think about this. If an AI can run flawlessly in a survival scenario, doesn't that fundamentally change AI from being a subscription service into like a critical utility?
Yeah, like having a fire starter or a compass.
Exactly, a basic survival tool.
It really forces us to reevaluate the whole definition of utility because, a traditional compass just points north.
But an offline-first survival computer like Project Nomad, it contains localized functional knowledge of botany, emergency medicine, structural engineering,
Wow.
and can actively diagnose a situation without pinging a server even once.
That is wild.
But that requires true decentralization. You remove the reliance on cloud infrastructure, which means you completely remove the vulnerabilities of connectivity dropouts.
Right, but severing that cord to the cloud, it also means severing the geographical cord to Silicon Valley.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if the hardware is localizing, the actual origin of these models is globalizing just as fast. The map is expanding.
Yeah, the geographic center of gravity is shifting away from US-centric developers.
Mm.
And that fundamentally alters the actual data structures these models built upon.
So looking at the data in the Actromic News Digest, Alibaba's new model Q 3.5 Maxack, it just jumped to fifth place globally.
That is a massive leap.
It is. It debuted with a score of 1481 plus or minus 13 on the Elmarina leaderboard.
Very impressive benchmarks.
Yeah, and looking objectively at those benchmarks, this marks China's strongest showing in the frontier model race to date. And we're just reporting the numbers here, but alongside that, Rakuten launched AI 3.0.
Right, the Japanese model.
Exactly. It's an LLM explicitly optimized for Japanese. So what does this all mean for the global tech landscape? Because the race is clearly no longer a domestic U.S. competition.
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we are basically watching the death of the one-size-fits-all global monolith.
The idea that one model rules the world.
Right. For a long time, the assumption was that a model trained primarily on an English-centric internet corpus could just be translated on the fly to serve the rest of the world.
Just run it through Google Translate in the background, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But language is not just a direct vocabulary swap, you know? Language is a structural framework for logic itself.
Oh, that's a really good point.
It contains the cultural nuances, the economic priorities, and the entire historical context of a specific region.
I've always wondered about that translation bottleneck. Like, if a U.S.-trained model tries to parse a highly contextual Japanese business negotiation,
it's going to struggle.
Right. It might understand the literal words, but completely fail the underlying logic because it's applying Western corporate frameworks to the data.
And that is the exact mechanism of failure for translated models, which is why Rakuten AI 3.0 is such a massive step forward.
Because it's native.
Exactly. By optimizing locally from the ground up, they're building a native digital brain for that specific cultural and economic framework.
That makes total sense.
And regarding Alibaba's Qwen 3.5 Max hitting the top five globally look, multiple perspectives and fierce global competition, they accelerate the underlying science.
Right. A rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly. When different regions invest in their own foundational architectures, it enriches the entire global ecosystem.
But, you know, having a locally native model in the woods or in a Tokyo boardroom is completely useless if it still requires you to hold its hand and, like, prompt it for every single micro step of a task.
Oh, for sure. The fatigue is real with manual prompting.
So we know where these models are running and we know who is building them. But the sources today show a massive shift in what they are actually doing.
The use cases are evolving.
Exactly. They aren't just answering questions anymore. They are becoming autonomous coworkers.
And this shift from conversational interfaces to agentic workflows, that is the most immediate operational change you will actually feel in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, and Cursor Composer 2 is the perfect example of this in today's digest.
Oh, I love reading about this update.
It's huge. Cursor just shipped an update where instead of acting as an API wrapper, you know, pinging OpenAI or Anthropic to help you write code, they actually built their own frontier coding model natively into the environment.
Which is a huge heavy lift for a company.
It really is. And here's where it gets really interesting. Why go through the massive computational expense of training a frontier model just for one specific coding environment? I mean, there are 100 API wrappers out there that do a decent job.
Right. Well, because a wrapper fundamentally lacks the context window and the environmental awareness required for what we call a long horizon task.
A long horizon task. Okay, explain that.
So a standard chatbot, it answers a single prompt. It's a ping pong match. But an autonomous coworker takes a high-level goal, say, refactor this entire payment gateway.
Okay.
It takes that, breaks it down into 50 smaller steps, reads your existing file structure, executes the code, checks for dependency errors, and iterates on its own until the broader goal is met.
Without you having to babysit every single line of code.
Exactly. You cannot do that efficiently through a generalized API wrapper. By building a native model, Cursor has essentially created a digital engineer that just lives inside your file system.
And we are seeing this autonomous long horizon behavior explode across the whole ecosystem today.
It's everywhere.
Like the Yash Kumar demo. He's an ML researcher, and he published a demo for an automated literature review system.
Oh, I saw this. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is. It doesn't just summarize a PDF you hand it. It actively goes out, researches, compiles, and synthesizes massive amounts of academic literature completely unsupervised.
It's acting like a graduate assistant.
Exactly. And when you look at the GitHub trending page in our sources, it is completely dominated by these multi-agent frameworks.
Yeah, multi-agent frameworks represent a fascinating architectural shift.
Yeah.
You're no longer interacting with a single AI entity, right?
Right.
You're spinning up a whole team of specialized narrow models that actually coordinate with each other.
Which is exactly what I saw with Deerflow.
Oh, the ByteDance project.
Yeah, it's ByteDance's super agent harness, and it hit 3,569 stars today. It comes with sandboxes, memory protocols, and actual multi-agent coordination out of the box.
It's like an office building in a repo.
It really is. And then there is Trading Agents. That's an LLM framework specifically for financial trading, and it gained 2,121 stars today.
That's some serious traction for a finance tool.
Absolutely. It sounds like your job is shifting from doing the research or executing the trade yourself to basically acting as a middle manager, assigning roles to a virtual office of digital experts.
This raises an important question, though. I mean, people have been trying to build multi-agent frameworks for a couple of years now.
True. We've seen prototypes before.
So why are they suddenly gaining massive traction and actual viability now?
Good question.
The historical failure point of autonomous agents was their cognitive degradation over time.
They would just sort of lose the plot.
Exactly. They would get confused in, say, step 6 of a 10-step process. Or worse, they would confidently hallucinate a variable that didn't even exist.
Dreaded hallucination. Yeah. Yeah, if a chatbot makes up a historical fun fact, it's annoying.
Right, you just refresh the page.
Mm. But if an autonomous financial agent using trading agents hallucinates a quarterly revenue metric right before executing a high-frequency trade.
Oh, that is a catastrophic financial event.
That's a nightmare.
Which brings us to a highly critical data point in today's digest. Grok 4.20 beta.
XAI's latest model.
Yes. It has reportedly achieved record low hallucination benchmarks. And for an enterprise to actually trust and deploy an autonomous financial agent or an automated researcher, reliability is the ultimate bottleneck.
It all comes down to trust.
Exactly. And the way Grok 4.2S beta reportedly addresses this is through complex internal verification loops.
Internal verification loops. Like, it double checks its own work.
Basically, yeah. The model essentially argues with itself. It cross-checks its planned output against its own internal logic constraints before it ever actually presents the action to the user.
So it's catching its own mistakes in the background.
Precisely.
So the entire foundation of autonomy is trust. If Grok's benchmarks actually hold up in the wild, and the hallucination rate has truly plummeted to a level where the cognitive architecture is stable over these long horizon tasks,
enterprise adoption will absolutely explode.
Just off the charts.
Because the barrier to entry transitions from a capability problem, you know, can the AI do this, or trust a problem, do I trust the AI to do this unsupervised? And once that trust threshold is crossed, the deployment of these multi-agent frameworks becomes totally exponential.
But, you know, this creates an incredible tension in the market. Because if everyone is downloading open source multi-agent frameworks from GitHub and running localized models on their iPhones or their off-grid Project Nomad computers...
Let me see where you're going with this.
Like, how do the legacy giants stay relevant? How do the massive companies that built the original cloud infrastructure maintain their dominance in a totally decentralized world?
By pivoting their strategy. They go from controlling the intelligence to owning the infrastructure beneath it.
Owning the pipes.
Exactly. If you can no longer control the end user application, you ensure you own the foundational operating systems that they all run on.
Oh, man. That makes perfect sense of this acquisition news today.
The Astral deal.
Yeah. OpenAI just acquired Astral. And the Atomicit Digest explicitly notes this as an infrastructure land grab.
That's a very intentional phrasing.
It is. It's not just them buying another shiny developer tool. It feels like the old gold rush adage, right? Don't mine for gold, sell the shovels, or like laying down the train tracks.
Yeah, OpenAI doesn't necessarily care if you build a luxury rail car or a freight car, just as long as the wheels are designed to specifically fit their exact gauge of track.
Right.
Ecosystem lock-in is a phenomenal force in technology.
Yeah.
While the open source community is out there building all these decentralized tools, companies like OpenAI and Anthropic are rushing to become the default plumbing.
And Anthropic is doing this really aggressively, too.
Very aggressively.
The Digest highlights a rapidly growing developer ecosystem building up around their specific tools. Like, StoryFox created an auto-updating Claude Code cheat sheet.
Oh, I saw that circulating.
Yeah, and early adopters like Neil Kekar are publishing highly specific productivity workflows specifically for Claude Code. They are basically building a deeply entrenched culture around their specific plumbing.
Because the strategy relies heavily on developer muscle memory.
Muscle memory, right.
Anthropic and OpenAI, they want developers to become so accustomed to their specific command line interfaces, their logic parsing, and their deployment workflows, that switching to a decentralized open source model introduces just way too much friction.
It becomes too annoying to leave the ecosystem.
Exactly. If you provide the most seamless, reliable infrastructure, people will build their brilliant autonomous agents on top of your foundation. And whoever owns the foundation, well, they ultimately set the rules of the ecosystem.
Wow. So we are really looking at two massive opposing forces right now.
A total tug of war.
Right. On one side, you have the ultimate push for decentralization. You've got Apple putting a 400 billion parameter model in your pocket. Project Nomad ensuring you have highly capable AI entirely off the grid.
Yep.
You've got regional tech hubs in Asia building culturally native models, and open source multi-agent frameworks turning into literal autonomous virtual coworkers.
All pushing away from the center.
Exactly. But on the other side, the legacy giants are aggressively buying up the infrastructure, laying down those train tracks to ensure that all those localized innovations still have to run through their stations.
And for you, listening right now, staying well informed means recognizing that these aren't just isolated tech updates.
They're all connected.
Exactly. The localized hardware, the regional models, the autonomous agents, and the infrastructure land grabs, they are interconnected pieces of a much larger ecosystem that you can actually leverage right now to augment your own workflows.
The tools to build your own localized autonomous virtual office, they literally exist today.
They do.
And it is entirely up to you whether you build that office on the legacy giant's train tracks or if you take it entirely off the grid, which honestly leads to something totally fascinating.
What's that?
Well, if we are really moving toward this era of deeply specialized offline local models,
well,
where does that eventually leave us as a society?
Well, I'd actually leave you with this exact thought to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've spent the last decade relying on centralized search engines and centralized cloud models.
You're right. Google, Wikipedia, early ChatGPT.
And for better or worse, that meant we all shared a consensus reality.
Yeah.
We were all querying the exact same database, getting roughly the same logic returned to us.
We all had the same baseline of facts.
Exactly. But if we are moving toward an era where you have an entirely offline, local, model-like Project Nomad, or an on-device iPhone AI that learns and adapts exclusively to your individual inputs.
Oh, wow.
Right. It adapts to your private workflow and your specific worldview without ever syncing back to a central cloud. Do we eventually lose that shared reality?
That is heavy.
What happens to human interaction when your highly specialized, completely off-grid AI evolves a completely different knowledge base and a completely different logic structure than the AI sitting in your neighbor's pocket?
Wow. We just stop querying the same central database and we all just create our own isolated pockets of logic.
It's a real possibility.
That is definitely something to think about as you watch all this incredible tech roll out over the next few months. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
The landscape is shifting incredibly fast, so stay insanely curious, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.